The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Today, we're going to continue with our series on God. And I'll go ahead and give you the title from the very beginning here. And the title is God Part 3. God's Part 3, Jesus' Role Prior to His Human Birth. Jesus' Role Prior to His Human Birth. During Jesus' earthly ministry, He revealed a Father-Son relationship. And brethren, from the very beginning of this, I want us to think about this and to please realize, contemplate on this, that God stresses the family relationship throughout the Bible. First of all, we see it between God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And then second, we see it between each begotten believer, us, the church, and the Father. We also notice in Scripture that the church is revealed as the mother of us all, part of that family relationship. We see that in Galatians 4:26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And think about this. Even within the church of God, we often refer to one another as brothers and sisters. Notice what Jesus commented on this, and this is where we could get this statement from, and that was from Matthew 12, beginning in verse 49. Matthew 12, verse 49. And he, Jesus, stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brothers, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Throughout the Bible, God is showing us today, He is showing us that there is a family known as God. Now, please go with me to John chapter 10, John chapter 10, and we'll read verse 36. John 10, 36. Say you of him, Jesus is referring to the Pharisees and Sadducees who are telling Jesus had just blasphemed because he was the Son of God. This is sort of like this is a statement and a question. Say you of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world that you blaspheme because I said I am the Son of God? But claiming to be the Son of God, Jesus contradicted one of the Jews' most sacred, trusted doctrines. And that is, God is composed of one and only one divine being. The point is, they did not and they do not understand that God is actually a family, currently composed now of the Father and the Son. Go with me to John chapter 1 and verse 18. John chapter 1 and verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And this word declared, or the words declared him, is explained him in the New American Standard Bible and in the NIV as well as the Revised Standard Version and a couple of others. It says, has made him known. Go with me now to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. One more in this particular section we're going through. Philippians 2 verse 6. Beginning in verse 6. Philippians 2 verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself, is what it is saying, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being formed and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, or therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, all things in heaven and in and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we can see that one being, meaning one God being, did not accomplish the creation. And then in verse 26, we also see that more than one God being was involved in the act of creation. Let's go there. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. This Hebrew word, we know Old Testament is Hebrew. We know that this Hebrew word here for God is Elohim. It is a plural form of the Hebrew word El, or could also be Eloi. And it could be correctly translated as Mighty One. This is the plural form that is used here, and it could be translated as the Mighty Ones. Even though it could be Mighty Ones, it is not implying that there's God would be gods. It's not one God being, because it's a family. This is what we're still seeing. This is a family, and this is a family name. The sense of this word, Elohim, is strength and power. There are several other scriptures where we can actually see this particular point. And so, for example, Colossians 1, Paul the Apostle is not flattering Jesus when he makes the statement that we see. Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17. Colossians 1, 16. For by him, is obviously referring, you read earlier in the chapter, in chapter 1, Colossians 1, you see that he's referring to Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So, since all things were created by Jesus, then he must have been one of the beings involved in the Hebrew word Elohim back in Genesis 1 and verse 1, and also part of the us in Genesis 1 and verse 26. Now, as we know, there are two accounts of the beginning. John 1 is an important passage that gives us the clear and simple truth of Jesus' office prior to his human birth. There cannot be two beginnings. There are two accounts, but there's one beginning. Cannot be two beginnings. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek word that is used for Word here is logos, meaning spokesman or one who speaks. Now, continuing on John 1, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created or made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, I'm going to read verse 3 because it's a little clearer. I'm going to read verse 3 in the New American Standard Bible. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Everything was made, or everything came into being by the spokesman, the Logos, the one who became Jesus Christ, as we just read in Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. One reason Jesus came to earth as a human being was for the purpose of dying on the cross for the sins of all mankind. John 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. We're going to read a couple of other passages here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Philippians 2, verse 7, Philippians 2, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Titus 1 in verse 3. Titus 1 in verse 3. But has in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So, brethren, we can see in the person, this flesh and blood and bone person, Jesus Christ, our very Creator, He became our Savior. This Jesus, our Maker, had been one of the members of the Godhead that became Father and Son. We're still looking at, occasionally focusing on here, bringing this to point, that there is a family relationship. This is why His life that He gave for us is far more important, shall we say, I think, of the sum total of every living, breathing human being. So, brethren, as we are showing, this divine being who was instrumental in creating all things, we see that He was changed into human flesh. Let's see a few other verses on this particular point, just looking at some of these things. Go with me, if you would, to 2 John, beginning in verse 7. 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Now, what some were teaching was that He didn't really come in the flesh. He was really God with flesh stretched over. I have heard that, and so have you, being taught by a former association of ours called the Worldwide Church of God, toward the end of the days of that organization. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. This is what John is saying. Look to yourself, verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgression abides not in the doctrine of Christ. Now what he's referring to is who and what he was, who and what Jesus Christ was, that he came in the flesh, that he really was the Creator, that he really did do all of these things. It's all of that. If a person abides not in the doctrine of Christ, that person, I'm reading in, that person has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. This is pretty serious. Neither bid him Godspeed. We would say today, goodbye. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4, 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We know this is talking about Jesus. James 1, verse 13, James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The Logos, the Word, the Old Testament Creator, emptied himself and died for us. We can also see that this being was the Lord. Often in English Bibles is written in all small capital letters. It is the Hebrew word Yahweh, YHVH or YHWH. We translate it quite often as eternal or sometimes as ever-living one. And when I read it, I simply just read the word Lord, because I know who it is. I know who I'm referring to. And it confuses people. And the reason I draw that distinction is because there are times that even in the church I have heard people reading in the New Testament has the word L-O-R-D, and they read ever-living one. And it's not what that's referring to. So it's a confusion to many people, and I'm just drawing the point here. This Old Testament Lord appeared to several people in the Old Testament. This being spoke to Adam and Eve, Enoch, Abraham, Moses, and others. And he is the same one who later became Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says so in John chapter 5 and verse 37. John 5:37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. The him there or his there is referring to the Father. The one who spoke the laws to Israel at Mount Sinai was the one we refer to as Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. 2 Samuel 22, beginning in verse 1. And David spoken to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, this, and David said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. What we're showing is that this is the role, responsibilities, however you would want to use this, talking about the being we refer to as Jesus Christ back in the time of the Old Testament. This being that we know as Jesus of Nazareth was the Lord of the Old Testament. This being that we know as Jesus of Nazareth was the God being who dealt with Israel personally. This being that we know of as Jesus of Nazareth was the one who inspired the prophets. This being that we know as Jesus of Nazareth was the one who revealed himself to Pharaoh and to Moses and to others. Now, I want us to go to John chapter 4. John 4. In John 4, this is where we see the account of the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus is talking to her. I'm not starting there. I'm looking a little bit later, so let's go down to verse 40. John 4 and verse 40. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, she left, she went and told the people, and they came out to Jesus. I mean, you can read it, and this is simple enough, but anyway. And they besought him, and besought Jesus, that he would tarry with them, and he abode with them 2 days. Now, this is just interesting even in itself, if you read this whole account. And many more believed because of his word. And they said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, not because you're telling us, but because we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. And then after 2 days, he departed there and went to Galilee. Jesus is called the Savior of the world. Notice with me back in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 60, where Yahweh is referred to and is called the Redeemer, and that is the Savior, the Holy One of Israel. Actually, I think in Scripture it says Jacob, but it could be Israel. Isaiah 60 and verse 16. Isaiah 60 verse 16. You shall also suck the milk of the Gentiles and shall suck the breast of kings. Now, not getting into prophecy what that is talking about, but go on. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob or Israel. They're telling us, the Samaritans who are believing on Jesus, they're saying, you're that guy. You're that guy that is back in Isaiah. They didn't say Isaiah. That's not what they're saying, but this is where he's identified there. This is what they're getting at. Now, brethren, I want us to understand some currently, including some of the Church of God groups, have concluded, and they are currently teaching, the God of the Old Testament was the God being we call the Father. Now, yet, when we put the scriptures together, we can see it could not have been the Father. For example, we read this earlier. Notice with me again what we read in John 1 and verse 18. John 1 verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. Is the Bible true or not true? Is Jesus lying or is he telling us the truth? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Notice also what Jesus said in John 5, verse 37. John 5, 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard the Father's voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Again, Jesus was either speaking the truth or he was lying. You can't have it both ways. So, brethren, please realize there are these two scriptures that I've just read, these two passages, teach us a very important point. And that is the Father has not directly spoken to or been seen by any human being at any time. And yet, if we look through the Old Testament, we see many occasions when God, which one, worked directly with human beings. Because we've already seen that there's two God beings. We refer to them as the Father and the Son. Okay? And we can see that a God being dealt with people back in the Old Testament times. Which being was it? Now I'm already saying, it's not the Father. Because that's what Jesus said, and I have to believe Jesus' words. So let's consider a few examples. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. There are actually people who are actually saying this was God the Father who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, again, it's either true or it's not true. And Jesus said, nah, you've never seen the Father, nor seen his shape, nor heard his voice at any time. Now, one, they both can't be true. Somebody walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. That's what it says. Genesis 6, verse 13 and 14. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence throughout them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make you an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall you make in the ark, and shall pitch it without, within and without with pitch. Somebody talked with Noah. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get you out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Somebody talk with Abraham. Genesis 17 in verse 1. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abram. Okay, some God being appeared to him. That's what we're showing. And said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be you perfect. Exodus 3. This is Moses in the burning bush. We're not going to read all of it, just some of the verses. Exodus 3 and verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he, Moses, had turned to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And he, God, said, don't come any closer, take off your shoes for the ground where yours is holy ground. Take off your sandals. Moreover, he said, this is verse 6. Moreover, I am the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Exodus 33. You're going to get tired of verses here in a moment, but we're driving this point home. Exodus 33, verse 11, the A part of the verse. Exodus 33, verse 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. Drop down, and this is still Exodus 33, verse 22. And it came to pass, while my glory passed by, that I will put you in a cliff of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Somebody, one of the God beings, two, we call Father and Son. One of them hid his hand in front of Moses' face, and he walked by, and he took away his face, and he could see his backside, but not his face. And this is when Moses was glorified, and he shined very brightly. He had to put a veil on him and all of that kind of stuff. This is that account. This is what happened. Moses saw somebody, one of the God beings. Numbers 12, verse 4. And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out, the three of you, of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Moses. And they both came forth, and he said, hear now my words. So here's a God's being speaking now to Aaron and Moses. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. That's not the way I'm dealing with Moses, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, face to face. I'm gonna talk to him directly, even apparently, and not in dark sayings, and in the similitudes of the Lord shall he be whole. Wherefore then will you not be afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Why are you not afraid to speak this way that you spoke against Moses? Deuteronomy 4 and verse 33. Did not every person hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and live? So the people heard the voice of God. No one has seen his voice or heard him at any time. The Father. That's what Jesus said. I have one more here. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Jeremiah 1 and verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me to Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I formed you in the belly. I knew you. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you could come forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Jeremiah, Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto him, Say not, I am a child, for you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched his mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw up and to build and to plant. There are others. This is just some. But I think you get the point. So, therefore, we see that a divine being, a God being in the Old Testament, directly with people. And we read in the New Testament, according to Jesus' own words, this divine being could not have been God the Father. Jesus said that he came to reveal the Father. Matthew 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Father but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Both in the Greek New Testament and Hebrew Old Testament, the word reveal means they basically, it's not the same words, of course, because one's Greek, one's Hebrew, but they mean the same thing, and the usages are the same way. It means uncover, bring to light, reveal. And what it is implying is revealing what is hidden or veiled or obstructed. So Jesus says, I came to reveal, to make known the Father. Yet we just had all of these people in the Old Testament who saw a God being. If the one who revealed himself to the prophets and to Israel in the Old Testament was not the Father, then we need to ask, then who was it? We clearly see from scriptures the divine being who became Jesus of Nazareth was the Creator, and he was the one who revealed himself to the prophets and to Israel. So, before Jesus' human birth, flesh and blood and bone, human being, Jesus of Nazareth, the Word, the Logos, was the God being who created all things. Paul the Apostle also makes this fact very clear. Go with me to Ephesians 3 and verse 9. Ephesians 3 and verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, in other words, from the creation, has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. There's no way I'm denying that the Father wasn't involved in it. I already made the statement. Two beings were involved in the creation. John 1:1 and John 1:26 show that very clear. Two beings were involved. Now, which one was doing speaking? That's not my point here. But there were two beings involved. So we see the God being referred to as the Father was in charge, created all things through Jesus. I don't have a problem with that. And we also read, Jesus, the Word, created all things, and that obviously included the angels, the physical universe, the sun, the moon, stars, planets, all those things, and all physical life. And we see it was for the Father, and it was under His direction. Colossians 1 verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. Now, I've already stated that Colossians 1, you read it back a little bit earlier, and you can plainly see that this is referring to Jesus Christ. It's not a question who it is. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He, Jesus, might have the preeminence. He not only created all things in heaven and that are on earth, but He also rules over all authorities and powers that exist under the Father now. This means that Jesus now has authority at this time over the entire angelic and human realm. He existed before all things, is what it says, showing that He is eternal. And it says, in Him all things consist. That word could be translated as all things are held together and all things endure. This truth of Jesus being creator of all things is also seen in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Hebrews 1, verse 2. Hebrews 1, 1 says, in times past it spoke to us by the prophets. Hebrews 1, verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So, but I think that it's easy for us to see and to understand that this person, this being that we know as Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, He was the spokesman, He was the Lord, the Yahweh of the Old Testament. He was one of the mighty ones in Genesis 1 in verse 1, and He was one part of the us in Genesis 1 in verse 26. He was the God of the Old Testament. He was the one who dealt with His people. So going back and looking at God part 3, Jesus' role prior to His human birth. Therefore, we see Jesus of Nazareth in His life before becoming a flesh and blood and bone human being was the God of the Old Testament. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so blessed as the children of God. Happy Sabbath. God bless all of you. We love you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.